Welcome to the Governance Voice Podcast, your source for news, trends, and challenges in the world of corporate governance. GPC is a member organization that promotes and supports the role of the governance professional and corporate secretaries across Canada. We provide valuable information on changes and developments that affect our industry. Each month, we dedicate a podcast episode to a key relevant topic. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Well, hello everyone and welcome back to the Governance Voice, the new GPC podcast series. And welcome back to Krista Wessel, who is the Chief Operating Officer and General Counsel of Clearview Strategic Partners. This is part two of a two-part series, Look at Whistleblowing. And we had an opportunity to already take a look at what is so important about whistleblowing, what is the breakdown of the key components of the whistleblowing system and some myths. Busting, and we are now going to take another look at some other issues such as the evolution, where it came from, legislative issues, and some key challenges for organizations, and what are the elements, again, of what makes up an effective whistleblower system. So welcome back, Krista. Great to have you back.
Great to be here, Lynn. Thank you.
And Krista actually ran a great session last year in Quebec City in August at our GPC annual conference. It was entitled The Corporate Whistleblower, Why Whistleblowing Should Be Top of Mind for All Boards and Governance Professionals. And so we're going to take off from here where we left off, and we have a great podcast ahead of us. So we'll hope you stick around. I pointed out we did get a nice breakdown of some essential components and benefits of establishing a proper system in our last episode. And we talked about some of the myth busters. You know, it was really nice to clear up some questions that I had on the subject as well. It's a great and powerful and engaging way to test people's knowledge on whistleblowing. So, as I mentioned, we're going to be focusing on some topical examples of whistleblowing in the news and how that translates into the boardrooms of Canadian companies. But maybe you could just give me a little bit of an idea of where it came from. What's the background for whistleblowing?
Mm-hmm. In the first place. Whistleblowing isn't something that just came up, you know, post-Enron. The concept of whistleblowing actually dates back at least to the 7th century in England. And governments, or the kingdom of the day, have always spent a lot of money on goods and services for their citizens. And sadly, individuals and organizations have always found ways to defraud those governments and organizations. And so even back in the 7th century, there were bounties paid for information around corruption and fraud related to government spending. So it's not a new thing. It's been around for a long time. And I think, you know, in today's era, things are changing. It's got different structure. It's not just governments, it's corporations as well. It's not just about fraud and theft anymore. It's about other things. And we'll talk a little bit about that today, I think, Lynn. But yeah, not a new thing.
That's interesting. But let's talk about the recent developments. And I would reference Sarbanes-Oxley, so post-SOX environment. Maybe talk about what's been happening since.
Mm-hmm. So that legislation was focused on ensuring that organizations had systems in place to control, detect, and deter wrongdoing. And the focus was actually on wrongdoing related to financial matters, such as fraud and theft, non-compliance with laws such as corruption and bribery, and the environment, those kinds of things that impacted basically financial statements of organizations.
So, Krista, now that we have a little bit of an idea of the history, can you tell us a little bit more about the whistleblowing era that we are in now? What are the things that you're seeing happening right now?
In addition to financial wrongdoing and making sure they've got systems in place to receive reports along those lines, what we find is many organizations are expanding their ethics reporting system to include issues and concerns related to the workplace. So what do I mean when I say related to the workplace? I mean things like Me Too type issues, discrimination, diversity, inclusion, bullying, harassment, those kinds of things. And this is actually really consistent with how Clearview sees itself in the marketplace, because our purpose is actually to empower people to make safer, more responsible organizations for a better world. And it really encompasses all of the activities and behaviors that cause people to be or feel unsafe in their workplace.
Yes, and in fact, in Quebec City last August, you took us through some of the top trends and presented a number of those, you know, at the conference. And maybe you can talk a little bit about that as well.
Mm-hmm. It really is striking what the data is showing about this era that we're in right now. There was a benchmarking study that was released in 2019 that was based on hotline database information about 3,000 customers, with a total of about, I think it was 1 million reports. And most of those were based in North America, In any event, the North American organizations reported a year-over-year increase in harassment reports filed in 2018. Because if you think about Me Too, it kind of started in 2017. So within about 12 months, there was a dramatic increase in reports related to harassment. And I think that data really shows a growing inclination for individuals to speak up about those kinds of things, about those workplace environment issues, and as well a fundamental shift in employees' willingness to tolerate poor behavior in the workplace. And so that's really exciting.
That's really interesting. So then what are the overall statistics? Is that the trend that we're seeing and that we're going to continue to see?
Mm-hmm. I think it is, because workplace issues actually in that same study represented approximately 70% of the reports filed in 2018, which is really interesting when you think about what we talked about a few minutes ago, which was the origins of whistleblowing and ethics reporting system, which was related to financial fraud and theft. And now we're talking about workplace issues.
It's really interesting to see this evolution, and I wonder to what degree legislation has had a role in moving the dial on this. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, I can. And I think it's a combination of things. I think individuals and people and citizens generally are not willing to tolerate feeling unsafe in the workplace. That in turn pushed legislators to put laws in place that say employers, organizations are required to create safe workplaces. An example of that would be Bill 132 in Ontario. That legislation's duplicated in a number of other provinces in Canada. And that body of legislation requires organizations to have a system in place to receive reports of this type. Government inspectors are allowed to come in. They're allowed to look at your reporting system. They're allowed to look at what reports you've got. They're allowed to look at how you've handled those reports. How have you investigated them? How have you resolved them? So I think it's a combination of things that are contributing to that. People not willing to tolerate it, and then legislation coming into place saying you actually need to get serious about this.
So now, what is happening on the legislative sides of these types of issues and concerns, if anything?
In Canada, there's actually several examples of legislation that make it clear that everyone's entitled to a safe workplace.
Workplace issues are not as black and white, obviously, in terms of reporting, and I can imagine that there are a number of challenges that organizations face when they have to expand their ethics reporting systems to include these workplace issues and concerns. And how do they work through that, and what are the nuances that they have to take into consideration?
That's something that I get a lot of questions about, because the information that's reported by or that's provided by a reporter about a financial fraud, for example, the plant manager is taking kickbacks, just use an example, relatively easily investigated, right? You can check his bank account, you can check what kind of a house he lives in, you can check the pricing of that vendor, etc., right? We've been doing that for decades, investigating financial-related wrongdoing. With an incident in the workplace, it's really different. For example, the allegation is I didn't get a raise this year because I refused to sleep with my manager, right? The underlying evidence is different. In one case, in the fraud or in the kickback case, there's paper evidence. In the other case, you're trying to figure out, did the manager actually make that request or not? Or did the individual misunderstand the request, and what were the words that were said, etc.? And would the individual otherwise have been entitled to a raise? The skill sets required to undertake each type of investigation are really different, and I find organizations struggling a little bit trying to figure out how to do that properly. What I do say to people, governance leaders who I talk to, is just because it's hard doesn't mean you shouldn't do anything. Do something and learn along the way and adjust, but don't stick your head in the sand about it, because you need to get out ahead of it.
Yeah, I think this is going to be an ongoing dialogue, and I applaud your organization for bringing tools and for having the ability to sort of help these organizations in wrapping their minds and reporting systems around these concerns. It's an upward battle. But what's next? Like, what is going to be down the road? How are ethics and reporting systems going to be challenged over the next few years?
I think there's three big trends in this era that we're in right now, and it's really three trends that are going to shape how whistleblowing and ethics reporting systems look in the future. And the first one for me is probably what I call either the consolidation of channels or spreadsheet challenge. And it really is because organizations, if you think about it, have multiple ways to receive information from their employees and stakeholders. So in addition to reporting system, they might have an Ask the CEO email, they might have a lovely HR group who receives information from people who stop by and have things that they're concerned about, they might have a customer support center, They have a legal function. So there's lots of different ways for people to express concerns. And what clients are asking us for, and what I see happening with the regulators as well, is they're like, how do you really know everything that's going on in your organization? Well, the only way to do that is to consolidate all of the data coming from those various channels into one place. So either on a spreadsheet, which is not particularly efficient and time-consuming and manual, but some other way to consolidate that information. And we've got clients who are actually starting to use the database inside ClearView Connects in order to gather up that information so it's stored in a secure place and they can access it and they can actually search and sort through that database and try to find information that is going to help them make better decisions going forward.
Yes, I think that this holistic approach makes a whole lot of sense, and certainly the challenges associated with it obviously would come out. Would the situation with Wells Fargo have anything to do with this approach?
I think that's a perfect example, and you've hit the nail on the head. Because if you look at the history of the Wells Fargo scandal, I'll call it, there were several years where reports had come up of improper activities or concerning activities. And those reports had come up through various channels and in various different ways. And even after the first part of that scandal broke, senior management was still denying that it was a bigger problem. And it wasn't until the investigation continued on that they actually could link the dots. And there had been many signs over the course of a number of years that there was an issue. And so part of the challenge for them was making sure that they were getting all of that information into one place and they could actually detect what ended up being a fairly big problem. That case, interestingly, has had an impact on Canadian financial institutions because the regulators up here are now asking our financial institutions here, saying things like, so how do you know that all the things that are going on in your organization are bubbling up to the right level? So we're actually in dialogue with individuals about that and trying to see how ClearView can actually help them achieve their objectives.
I think this whole reporting side of whistleblowing is definitely going to be one of the biggest challenges, as you say, going forward, and having the capacity to gather and to really make sense of the information to make sure that it is whole. Are there advantages that could come out of this whole type of systematic approach that organizations could leverage for other reasons?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. For me, the benefit is to be able to identify patterns and trends and hotspots, which is what I call it. So particularly, for example, areas of concern. So I have, for example, a number of reports around improper payment of overtime, or I've got 5 reports or concerns being raised about a particular office or a particular plant, or I have a number of reports that name the same individual on a number of occasions. So I think it helps organizations to focus resources on areas that are showing that they need attention. But in an ideal world, it actually will eventually result in preventative measures. So you're not always reacting to the wrongdoing that's occurred, but you can actually turn the data into information where you can say, I can see trouble brewing here. I need to go in and do some training, or I need to clarify a policy, or I need to educate some people about the way that we want them to do things or fix a procedure. That's the ideal world, is preventing it before it actually happens.
Speaking of benefits, I would imagine that perhaps these systems becoming more sophisticated could be leveraged for some other type of engagement within organizations and be more proactive as opposed to reactive.
That's true, Lynn. In fact, the origins of the ClearView system is employee engagement, and our tagline has always been connecting people and organizations. So it becomes not just about wrongdoing or reporting concerns, but actually making suggestions and asking questions and clarifying things and making inquiries and just understanding what's expected of me more. And so we actually see that already evolving with some of our clients. They want to open up the channels and have an increased dialogue with their employees. And it doesn't always have to be anonymous. It doesn't always have to be confidential. We can do it all, but they often are just interested in what's on their employees' minds. And in fact, we've just updated our page for reporters. It used to say kind of file your report here, but now it actually says what's on your mind, exactly to reflect that shift that we're seeing.
So at the conference session that we had back in August, we talked about some key and most important elements when it came to implementing a whistleblower program or an ethics reporting system. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Actually, the audience was really well informed, and we got a set of answers that I thought were really great. So the audience, I think, absolutely correctly identified 4 key elements to make up a really good whistleblower or ethics reporting program. The first was having a confidential and anonymous reporting channel, obviously. The second was a commitment to no retaliation against whistleblowers or reporters. The third, as we've talked about a little bit just now, communications and tone at the top. And fourth was ensuring that investigations are conducted competently and thoroughly. And those really are the foundational elements of a good program.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you very much, Krista. So one of the questions I would like to ask is, you know, considering our membership and our listeners typically are working in the trenches of governance and are working very closely with their boards to make sure that they obtain the right information to do their due diligence. And you mentioned, obviously, communications and tone at the top, which goes right into the core of that. So what would you say the role of the board is in ensuring that the organization is equipped, has the right reporting system in place, and what is the role of the governance professional to support that?
So, I mean, I think the board's duty is to make sure that they've got an effective system in place, that they're getting good information, and that there's actions and decisions that are being taken from that information. And board members, they aren't in the organization. They are not experts in their field. They're not all of them, certainly, are governance professionals. You might have one or two people on a board who have some governance background, but they come from all different walks of life, which is why they're on the boards. So they really count on the governance professionals in the organization, in whatever role those governance professionals might appear, to help them understand what does good look like when it comes to an ethics reporting system or a whistleblower program. What information should they be receiving and requesting from a system, right? So how robust is the reporting and how detailed is it and how can they better understand it? Finally, and probably most importantly, is what actions and decisions need to be taken. Those get validated by the board and go back to the governance professionals, and then it needs to be disseminated into the organization. So for me, governance professionals, whether it's a corporate secretary, a compliance and ethics officer, a legal person, a board admin person, whatever those roles are critical in the backbone of a good ethics reporting system.
Thank you so much, Krista. That was great insight. I know our members are going to appreciate having that kind of information. And certainly they have their work cut out for themselves and for their boards to support this very important activity in their organization. Thank you again to Krista Wessel. She is the Chief Operating Officer and General Counsel of Clearview Strategic Partners, Inc. Krista is also offering our podcasters a chance to have access to a list of tools, links, articles, and resources that have been mentioned throughout the podcast. And you'll be able to find that link in the podcast show notes. This concludes our podcast. Thank you so much for listening to The Governance Voice. To find out more about GPC, please visit our website at gpcanada.org and visit us next month for the next edition of the podcast. Here at GPC, Governance Matters.
The audio in this podcast is brought to you by Impact AV Solutions, building valuable partnerships and customized event designs for each of their clients. They utilize their technical and creative expertise to deliver the flawless execution of each event, making each one an unforgettable experience. Impact AV Solutions is based out of the GTA and is able to service events across Canada. For more information on their services, please visit impactavsolutions.com. This podcast was brought to you by Governance Professionals of Canada, or GPC, your voice for governance professionals nationwide. Our mission is to highlight all aspects of corporate governance for corporate secretaries, board members, committees, general counsel, risk, compliance, and more. For more information on GPC, please visit gpcanada.org. That's gpcanada.org. Tune in next time for our take on the latest in corporate governance.